FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. The date is August 2nd, 2016. And well, by all appearances, we are entering the next stage of the collapse, and where it ends, nobody knows. And well, Chris Martinson of PeakProsperity.com is with us now. He's speaking to us from his hideaway, his vacation, and points north. Hopefully it's cooler than it is here in sunny southern Florida. Hey, Chris, great to have you back.
Kerry, always a pleasure to be with you.
Hey, so pretty cool where you are. Here it's 95 degrees and 95% humidity. Just got back from Vancouver, where it was really nice. I could have stayed there another month, I got to tell you.
Yeah, it's very nice here. I'm on the coast of Maine off of Acadia. It's a bright blue sunny day, light breeze. I'm in jeans, no mosquitoes. It couldn't be better.
No Zika virus threat there, huh?
No, and there never will be. They'll never make it this far north. It's just beautiful up here. It really is.
Yeah, well, hey, you know, but winter comes quickly, or I should say fall comes quickly. It's a short summer there, but hey, winter is coming to the economy very quickly as well, isn't it?
Well, it seems that way. You know, this is the very best statistical massage that lying and manipulating of statistics can get you, plus $180 billion a month mm-hmm. in fresh thin air money injected into the system by the central banks, who keep telling us they're doing it for our own good. It's kind of like being, you know, beaten to improve your morale, and all they're really doing is buying large amounts of bonds from people who could front run that process. So they're making the people who can intermediary themselves into that whole thing stinking rich. You know, look what just happened. Just take a look. We see the Italian banks absolutely crashing. UniCredit halted yesterday. That's the same day that Italian sovereign debt, 10-year, hit the 1% mark, right? So how do you square that up? You got a country in full freefall banking crisis and their bonds are skyrocketing. Who's buying it? It's the ECB. Come on. That's it. Mm-hmm. So if you don't recognize what I just said, what those warning signs are, you got to check it out, because this is crazy time. These are insane moves by insane people who are doing any insane thing they can to try and keep the system going for another day, another week, another month. But while they're doing that, they're making the stress in the system that much worse, which will make the adjustment that much worse. And, you know, I got to tell you, Kerry, the people I talk to, many of them who are big money people, they're beyond worried at this point. They're almost resigned that this is going to end badly.
Yeah, well, one of the things I was trying to get through to somebody in Vancouver is you can't rationally plan for the end of the system or a major disruption, because it's not going to be a rational event. What we're going through now is not rational. The way the markets are behaving, Chris, it's not rational. They're not behaving rationally. And I think that's something you really got to understand. It's just not going to be a rational unfolding of markets. It's going to be something that you're totally not expecting that brings them down. And when they go down, they're not just going to go down nicely and predictably. It's going to be something totally insane, I guess. That's what I'm starting to believe here.
Well, it will be. And of course, none of this is predictable. So, you know, the Serenity Prayer says that you should, you know, be able to release the things you have no control over, take control over the things you can, you know, and the wisdom to know the difference, to paraphrase it.
Yeah.
And that's really what our most recent book, Prosper, Adam Taggart and I wrote that and you find that at our site. Prosper is about, look, people, you can't control. I have no control over the $180 billion a month money printing. I could write a million articles, organize a million person rally. Nothing would change. They're going to do it. What I can do is I can control whether or not I have my wealth fully tied up in that system that they're doing that in. And the answer is, well, no, I don't have to. In fact, my whole strategy has been about taking my wealth, and I'm putting air quotes up, because wealth, when I say that, everybody thinks, oh, cash, stocks, bonds, derivative, you know, paper. And increasingly, you know, that whole paper world is insane. Like you said, it's irrational. So if that's the case, one of the smartest things you can do is to begin to take your paper wealth and bring it out into the world of real wealth. And that's not just gold and silver for me. That's my homestead. That's my land. That's my emotional health. It's physical health. It's the living capital I've built up in my garden, my orchard. There's lots of things we can do to pull our money out of the system and put it into the health of the systems that support us more directly, the things we can control. That's really as smart as I know how to be right now.
Yeah, I think that's the only thing you can predict is you're going to need food, right? You're going to need to eat. You're going to need a place to live, a roof over your head, no matter how you figure it. Those things are constants. All the other insanity, however that unfolds, right? Not much you can do about that. But the other things, yes, you are going to need those things.
Well, you will, and the people I'm trying to reach, Carrie, are the people who somehow have in their mind, they have it tucked away in the back that, well, Chris, you know, when things get to a certain stage, I'll know, and then I will start doing the things you talk about. And my message to them is, it'll be too late. Well, maybe not too late, but it'll be less optimal than it could be, because most of these things I just described take a lot of time, right? And it's just, you know, if you woke up today and said, I want solar on my roof, for instance, 6 months minimum, maybe a year, depending on, you know, local availability and backlogs and permitting and all kinds of other stuff, right? That's just for one thing. So everything I've done in my life just takes time. And, you know, so A, you got time, but B, here's the important part. When the crisis comes, like you said, it's going to be fast. It'll be furious. It'll be chaotic. It'll be new. People won't know what to do. That's a terrible time to try and get anything done unless you have had that plan already, you know, pre-developed. But a lot of people, I think, overlook, Carrie, just how difficult it really is to get things done when the crisis is unfolding. Just personally, emotionally, our own emotions collapse us a little bit, you know, tunnel vision, it becomes difficult to operate. And this is why in the military, you know, they plan, they practice. So, and even then they know that things aren't going to go how you planned, right? It's just how it works out. So for those people who are thinking, you know, I'll just wait until I'm sure that the right thing to do is to prepare as if there was some crisis coming. I want to reach those people, Carrie, and I want to tell them that they're making a mistake by waiting, that they really need to begin the process of getting themselves more insulated, more ready, more resilient today. And if they do it properly, right? This isn't a hair shirt we're wearing, you know, depriving ourselves. This is making your life better today in ways that will make you more resilient for the future. That's the message we're trying to get out there.
Yeah, very true. And it comes down to some checklists, I think. You need some checklists because your plan's not going to be perfect, whatever it is. And your plan is really centered around you, your family, what you need going ahead. So it's not going to be perfect, but you're going to be that much better off than those of you who don't have a plan at all, who are really going to be at the mercy of the forces, the external forces that are in place then, whatever they might be. And like I say, I've kind of given up trying to predict what's going to happen and when it's going to happen, because I've realized it's just an exercise here in futility. You really can't do it. It can't be done.
Well, you can't, because we can't hold anything constant. We just don't know what's going to happen. It's like there's six degrees of motion in a sword. You know, it's got like joints in it. We're trying to swing this sword around and figure out what's happening. It's hard. You know, it's going all over the place. Here's a prediction I could make. If they suddenly stopped their $180 billion a month of injections, I guarantee you that we would have financial turmoil. The markets would crash. Bonds would crash for sure. Equities would take it in the shorts. Corporations would fold up shop. Sovereign defaults would happen. And I can pretty much guarantee that's what would happen. But what I can't predict is, will they make that $1 trillion a month next year? Will it go to what's the number? What I can tell you is that $180 billion a month represents the minimum amount that central banks think they need to put in the system to prevent that sort of crushing deflation I just described from happening. So they're fighting it. It's costing them $180 billion a month. And let's just review where we are, because that was $5 billion a month when this crisis started. Got as high as $80 billion a month under QE3, and now it's $180 billion a month. This liquidity they're injecting is the highest it's ever been, and they're telling us things are getting better. I trust less what people say. I trust more what they do. The central banks are acting like there's a major crisis on hand. People should be respecting that and behaving as if that crisis was already here, because the central bank actions say it is.
Yeah. Hey, $180 billion here, $180 billion there. Pretty soon you're talking about real money, Chris, right?
It feels, yeah, that sounds realish to me.
Yeah,
you know? Sounds respectable.
Yeah. I think that's major, major money. And it could easily go up, right? Could easily go up. So you better be aware here, because, it's been going up steadily, right? I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. It's been going up over the years. It hasn't been going down, which if it was healthy, the system was healthy or getting healthier, it would be going down. So,
I totally understand the mindset that was in play in 2007, early 2008. I get it. There was, major derivative crisis. They didn't get it. They didn't understand it. Credit default swaps and subprime were blowing up. They had to rescue the system. Listen, I can totally understand them dropping rates and liquefying the system for 6 months, maybe a year. So I'll go out to end of 2009. That might have made sense. But then 2010 happened, and 2011, and 2012. 2013, 14, 15, here we are, 16, no end in sight now, right?
Yeah.
So it tells you that what was a temporary emergency has become a permanent emergency. And that, again, is a very important message I think a lot of people are overlooking.
Yeah. I mean, it's become the norm. It really has become the norm. And the number keeps going up and up and up. And it can't stop. I mean, it's like the junkie. I hate the analogy. It's been overused so much already, Chris, but it certainly is apropos, and there's no end in sight. It just keeps getting worse and worse. So today it's the Italian banks. Tomorrow it'll be the Portuguese banks. Then it'll be the Spanish banks. But the banks, certainly the health of the financial industry, not getting better, and they can gloss over it, do what they want, but you and I know what's happening, and we're not the only ones, of course. You see what's happening. It's god awful. there's just no end in sight here. So without belaboring the point, so plan. You can't do it enough. And buy Chris's book. Where do we get your book here, Chris? Now, it's been out for a while, but it's still very timely.
Sure. The best place would be Amazon's an easy place, of course, and also at our website. And if you buy through the website, you get a signed copy. To accommodate it there as well. To take this away from the idea that, there's big, bad central banks, just understand that this is the death of debt-based fiat money systems. It's how they work. It's how they've always blown up. It's a little bit human behavior and it's a little bit math. And then here's the math side of it. Systems like this have to inflate or they collapse. They're trying to do everything to prevent the collapse, but it means we have to inflate forever. And what you're describing in that creeping up of the numbers is we're discovering that the inflation process is a compounding process. It has to be bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And of course, any sixth grader with a crayon and a napkin can tell you, you can't inflate something forever. That's the part that, unfortunately, our egghead academicians running the central banks do not understand. They live in a fantasy world of infinite growth. And it's a real, real tragedy that they've been given as much latitude, respect, and authority as they have.
That is correct. And so what do we do here? Well, we just prepare. And like you said, like the military, they spend most of their time not engaged in battle, but preparing for battle. And I think there's a lesson in that. Can't do enough preparation, even though, like our good friend Mike Tyson says, a plan, basically is lasts until you get hit in the head. Right? Didn't he say something like that?
Yeah, I think he said, everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the face.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. Well, hey, in the wisdom of Mike Tyson, and it's very true, but that shouldn't stop you from planning. The way I always said, Chris, when I go to a movie theater, I'm a little bit strange. I admit it. First thing I do is I look for the exits. Okay. because, hey, you know what? It's probably one in a billion that that movie theater is going to have a fire or something. But if it does, I'm going to know where the exits are. So I don't have to panic looking for the exits. If I go to a nightclub, whatever, you know, they're always overpacked, comedy clubs in Manhattan. But if there's an emergency, I can just calmly proceed to the exit. Same thing on an airplane. You know, it's not that I expect anything to happen. It's not that I'm necessarily worried that anything's going to happen. But if something does, I know where the exit is, my closest exit and my backup exit. So that's what you should have, too, for the system. Anyway, Chris, hey, peakprosperity.com. Definitely go there. Find out more. As always, we will have a link to Chris's site on financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Make sure you sign up for the free newsletter. Distribution will resume again next week, I promise. I've just been kind of taking it easy this summer, trying to spend some time with the family, take it easy. And back to work now, back to reality. Chris, we will catch up with you in a little bit. Be well and enjoy your downtime.
All right. Thank you. And a happy remainder of the summer to all your listeners.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.